Hey, it's a Spotlight Show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I am Chris Lorton. I am your host. And back with me again today, J.D. Lorton, Greg Snyders, and Donnie Braden. We're rehashing, going through the Winchester Tournament back in 1986, where we brought home the gold. And just talking about what a phenomenal year that was, a phenomenal players that we had on that team. You know, we talked about Matt Ballman, Justin Gisk, and Scott Coughlin. But how, Greg, how about our guards?
Our guards were tremendous. Chris Jones. They had length. They had quickness. Chris Jones was such a great shooter. Chris Sleeper was I'd say more of a slasher, but he could also
shoot
it from outside.
Oh,
yeah. And
defenders, they could both defend well.
Yeah, they were great defenders. And I don't care how good your bigs are, if you don't have guards and if you don't have people that can get the ball down the floor and make plays, you're not going to be very good. And we had great guards. Those two were really good.
One thing I like to mention is, okay, it was my third year coaching there. And the first 2 years, the first year, we're at when the Winchester tournament's a Saturday, we're rated ninth, you know, in the tournament. We have a game. And Mark Ballman is a senior on the team. And so whoever we're playing, I can't remember who it was, but they were giving him trouble on the floor, you know, messing with him, which was the wrong thing to do to Mark Ballman, any of the Ballmans, right? And, okay, I don't know that much. You know, I'm a young coach. And Mark was ticked. I didn't realize how ticked he was. But we're going back to our locker room, which was basically classrooms,
down
the hallway, right? And he goes into their locker room, grabs the guy, and starts, you know, knocking the snot out of him right there in the locker room. And all the other players, from what I understand, because I wasn't there, but everybody just stood back with their eyes just like wide open going, oh, my gosh. So anyway, I got called in on the carpet on that, you know, like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what's going on, you know.
I just think it's an honest mistake. I think he got in the wrong classroom, and they weren't trying to let him out of there. I just think it's an honest mistake.
He had to protect himself.
That's right.
And then we come back the second year, and Alan Preston gets in a tiff with somebody in the hallway. Didn't go to the locker room.
Right outside the
gym. Were you there?
Yes,
what?
I was a water boy.
Okay, I didn't see. Yeah, what
yes.
happened? No, I knew you were there, but I mean, if you were there in the hallway and saw it.
Yeah, they send you down, and you're basically across the halls from each other. Now I don't think that happens. That thing, it's different.
Yeah.
But two teams have just played each other, and then there's two teams you're ready to take the floor. The only place he could have done it was right outside the double doors of the gym, and that's where it happened.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. It was like going. Yeah.
So in reality, that was actually my first year coaching with you.
Okay,
when we won the tournament. I wasn't really aware of all this other history, and the comment that we were the Oakland Raiders makes a lot of sense now.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody would look at you, you know, kind of standoffish.
Yeah, and then, the third year. Now we got the team that actually, you know, does well, wins the tournament. But that era of that team, you know, I mean, I was thinking, and Greg, I think we were both, you know, thinking we had Donnie Braden, who was the bad boy in the stands. We just kind of had that bad boy, you know, gangster type attitude going for our team picture. JD, tell us about the team picture that we sent in for Winchester for the brochure.
Well, yeah, actually, it was your preseason. Football just got over, and Grandpa George, George Lorton, had a nice, pristine stretch Cadillac in his garage, and Uncle Chris decided to take that over and put it in front of, in the front yard in front of the Calhoun High School sign, and Grandpa was a collector of hats.
No, actually, that was down on the riverfront.
Oh, I thought it was right across from his house.
No.
Oh.
I think we went down the
river. It was at night.
It was at nighttime. We got underneath. I had a little experience in photography in college, right? So I kind of thought I knew what I was doing. So I had him. We staged it under a street light on the river. It was totally black on the back.
It was totally black.
Back, right? And then we had I said, you guys can, we're going to have a team picture. Bring whatever hat you want, you know? And they showed up in all these, you know, kind of gangster type hats, you know, and whatnot. And they, go ahead, JD. Sorry.
No, it was a great picture. But the only thing that I can say about that is that's one of the only times I've ever seen my grandfather kind of upset with Uncle Chris because there was footprints all over that car. And it was his baby. It was pristine.
Yeah, they were going like, they go, okay, guys, get on the car. They leaned against it. They stood on it. They sat on it. You're like, whatever, you know, took the shot.
But it was definitely unique. There was no other team that took a team picture like that.
No. And I just remember the era of the other coaches, you know, and just the atmosphere. We were kind of, I don't know, I just felt like I was kind of looked down upon, like, what's he doing here? What's it, you know, just, I mean, that's all right. You know, I was playing it off. But then it came the day of the game, that night of the game. And Greg and I are in there. We're taping ankles, carrying on. And JD, we happen to be in the bracket. We happen to be listed as the home team, and home team gets to pick the bench. The visiting team gets to pick what end they warm up on. So I told JD and Nate, I go, hey, we're taking that bench right there. And go ahead, JD.
And set to stay. This is against Winchester.
Yes.
This is Winchester. Yeah.
Against the home team.
Yeah, we're playing Winchester.
So they clear the gym out there. So there's an hour between the third and fourth in the championship game. So they clear everybody out. So we're in there, and, you know, of course, we're there early, and we've got all of our stuff, and we go, Uncle Chris tells us which bench, we go set everything up. Well, you know, we would go back and forth to the locker room if he's taping or needs something, whatever. Come back out, and our stuff's moved over to the other bench. So I walk in, Chris is taping, and I go, hey, Uncle Chris, they moved her stuff. He goes, go move it back. So we did. Moved it back. This happened 5 times. And after the fifth time, Chris comes walking out, and I don't know if...
Well, you finally come down, you go, Uncle Chris, I hate to tell you this. I go, what?
He did it again.
They moved her stuff.
But I go, well, let's back up. JD and Nate were how old?
10 and 11.
Yeah. And they're out there trying to defend our venue.
Our turf. Yeah, they got high school kids. They're like, I don't know, sophomores, juniors, whatever, who are managers.
Anyway, that last time when I got Uncle Chris, and for anybody that knows him, when he does get a little excited, you watch his hands. And, man, his hands are bent back, and they're pinching back and forth. And I was like, ugh. So we just walked right side by side. Me and Nate did. He said we knew what was going to happen. And he went right to the locker room. You went and knocked on Bob Moore's on their locker room door because they had their home locker room. And Coach Moore came out, and he goes, hey, that's our bench. Quit moving our stuff. He goes, we're the home team, you know. So Bob or Coach Moore, you know, they settled that one.
Yeah, I said, hey, I'm taking that bench. You know, which end do you want to warm up on? Because that's it. He's like going, okay. You know,
and it was, I don't know. But how that whole thing transpired, the people that were running the tournament didn't know that they weren't on the home bench. And the other thing was is when they warmed up, they always let the opposing team come out, and they dimmed the lights. I wouldn't shut them all the way off, and they'd play their coming out music. And it was, you know, it was Queen, you know, another one's Bite the Dust, you know, We Are the Champions, stuff like that. Well, Uncle Chris and Greg kept the team in the double doors and just waited them out so that they both had to cross as they're doing the warm-up. They cross each other when the music comes on. And then you know, that the warm ups come on, you know, go through it. And then before the game, Calhoun gets announced first as the visitor because Coach Moore came over to Chris like with 2 minutes of the clock and goes, "Hey, we're going to be the home team on the board."
To make it easier for everybody, you know, so we don't get mixed up during the game.
And they shut the lights out when they announced Winchester.
They announced us first.
They announced us first. We ran out there. And we had the lights, you know, and then they shut them down. Well, the whole time, their spotlight that they click on is on our bench. And you guys are in the huddle getting ready for the game, you know, and it's pitch black. Nobody can see Winchester. And it's on Calhoun the whole time. And we're sitting there going, "Who's the guy up top? Are you moving like that?" It all, you know, everything was on the Calhoun team.
And they spotted the floor.
They spotted the floor and didn't. And then, they didn't even see him in the middle when they broke it down.
And Winchester runs out in the floor in the dark.
In the dark. And from that point on, it was kind of game on.
Go ahead, Donnie.
And what was really funny about that when they did that spotlight, our student section was behind our bench. And I brought newspapers for everybody. And when they would start the other lineup, we'd all hold up newspapers.
And you had the light on you.
Yeah, and we had the light on us, showing us with newspapers in our faces when they're announcing their lineup. Then they announce their name. We drop our newspaper, say, "Who's that?" And put newspapers back up. And that spotlight was right on us.
Oh, shoot. Hey, if you're just joining us, we got Greg Snyders, J.D. Lorton, Donnie Braden. We're rehashing the 1986 victory at the Winchester Tournament, which this year they're doing 103rd year. And just talking about our victory there, which has been the only victory for Calhoun since that time ever. Anyway, that was a tough game against Winchester, and they were a heck of a team.
They were a great team.
Yeah, but, they were an Elite Eight team that year. Yeah, you know, they went and played in the state tournament in Champaign.
But, Greg, can you comment, like, the way you thought about how our team was then, you know, like, in that tournament, how loose they were, the way they, just their mentality?
Yeah, they just let it all hang out. I just don't think they ever felt any pressure, and no. maybe it's the fact that we were underdog, or maybe it was the fact, you know, we had that football experience. I mean, you go, you know, you get to the semifinal game in football, they just let it go. They just let go out there, and it was fun to watch.
Yeah. Well, I think the other thing was is how you guys approached it. You know, we played before Perry played, and you guys made the team stay there, and we had to pass out scouting reports that the kids, you know, the players had to take notes on the player they were going to guard or they were going to go against. And you guys did that for every opponent in that tournament. Yeah. No other team was doing anything like that, you know, and, you know, like football, you know, I think that's where it comes in. Where, you know, Uncle Chris was a football guy, but the scouting report is like the Bible for the week, man. You know everything that team's going to do. And those kids were just really locked in on them, on who their opponent was. You know?
Yeah.
Even though I was 11 years old, I mean, I remember that sitting there going, "Wow, this is unconventional. This is awesome."
Yeah. It made them pay attention and focus on the task at hand because they had to take notes.
And,
you know, they had to write down notes. Yeah. So they had to lock in.
Yeah.
And they did.
Yeah.
They did.
And no other teams were staying there and watching and things like that. You guys really had prepared.
You know, we had a lot of everybody played a part in winning that game, but you know, I just remember there was when we played Marquette and also when we played Winchester. You know, they had two key big players that were able to kind of take out of the game. Via Matt Ballman coming off the bench.
Absolutely.
You know, and I remember Scott was having a hard time.
That John Ducey, when you made that move, man, John Ducey from being on fire to being, he can't get a shot off.
Yeah. I don't know if you remember, Greg, but, you know, John Ducey was having his way with Scott.
Absolutely.
I mean.
He did with a lot of people.
Right. Okay, here's a little backstory. John Ducey was a cousin to Jim Ducey. Jim Ducey lived in Granite Acres, all right? That subdivision, all those houses down there, all those kids growing up there. All right, so did the Ballman boys. They grew up down there. And those guys grew up and playing down there, all right? So the Ballmans had a reputation, all right? Matt, Mark, all of them did. And so Ducey was out of his way, and I grabbed Matt by his shirt, got it right in my face, and I go in there and stop Ducey. Matt goes in there, you know, he's like, oh, man, this is right down my alley. He goes in there, and Matt was guarding Ducey. I don't know if you remember this, but he put his hand up like to guard him, like it was an inbound play right off the bat. Ducey takes his hand, and he pushes Matt's hand down, right? Matt puts his hand back up. You know, Ducey brings his hand back. And then Matt gets right in his face and says, you touch my hand one more time, and it'll be the last thing you do in this game. And there was a few key words. I mean, but, in between. You know, I mean, it was just close enough. I could see that. I'm going, ooh, boy, here we go again. And then after that, Ducey was out of the game.
Yeah.
He took him out.
Took him out. Mentally. He was like, oh, my God. You know, so anyway, that was a big part of it. So Matt was playing Cox, and, you know, I think Cox had a lot better game than Ducey had, but still, you know, Matt could put the handle on him for sure.
I know in that championship game, we had a couple of fluky things that happened too in that game. I remember right before halftime, Chris Jones shoots a baseline shot right at the end of the half, and it's shooting from the baseline, and it grazes the backboard.
It did.
And goes in.
Yeah.
And I thought, how did that go in right when the buzzer went off? Just grazed the backboard on a baseline shot and made that thing. And I thought, you know, tonight's our night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seemed like destiny with all the things that happened throughout that tournament, that just, you know, the Justin Gibson, you know, the 5-point possession to beat Marquette, that shot, how big was that? I mean, it was amazing.
And correct me if I'm wrong, we still jumped the ball at halftime, correct? That wasn't possession back then?
There was no possession.
Not at that time.
Didn't starting out the second half, didn't we win the tip and Chris Jones went down and slammed it?
Yeah.
You did.
Yes. Right off of halftime.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, it's on.
Yeah.
Yeah. He had two plays back to back, but it was a halftime in between that really turned that game, I thought.
Yeah. Well, the momentum.
Right.
I think the other thing was, you know, Chris Jones, how they defended, because Marquette had amazing guards.
Yeah.
And Winchester, I mean, I know they had a couple guys. They had one that was the point guard was a freshman, but he, you know, he was an all-time leading 3-point shooter in the state of Illinois. I mean, they were good.
Yeah.
And they just took them guys out of the equation.
They guarded so well. And I just think the other teammates fed off that energy.
Especially Slop, man. He'd get up in your grill.
Oh, yeah.
He was great.
He was great.
And they were long. I mean, Chris Jones was probably 6'2".
Greg, you remember one thing that we did, kind of our philosophy on defense was, you know, like usually you had two key players. These teams would have two guys, a guard and an inside man, you know. And we'd always go, okay, we're playing man-to-man. You're on him. Now, the rest of you, you're halfway. You know, you got half your man because he's not going to be a scorer. Your other half of you is on one of the better players. You help out. So they had a lot of help, which helped keep them down. And they were still tough. But we ended up going into a double overtime to win that game against Winchester.
On their court.
On their court. With their referees.
With their referees.
They were cutting a check.
Yeah.
The check was coming from, you know, Bob was cutting a check at the end of the night.
A team that made the Elite Eight that year.
The only thing they didn't check with was the light guy.
Yeah.
that kind of screwed him.
Yeah, I don't think he got the memo.
You know, we won that tournament, and it was fantastic. It was a heck of a high for everybody, you know, like just couldn't believe it. Needless to say, you know, we didn't win our regionals, you know, we didn't go very far. You know, I mean, I think that probably helped Winchester make it to state.
Oh, I'm sure. Oh, yeah. Made them tougher.
Yeah.
We lost Southwestern that year in the second round, didn't we?
I think we did.
Yeah. At their place. The region was at Southwestern.
That was my only regret that entire season. I felt like we peaked.
We
did. At that tournament.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the rest of the season, it seemed like we went down. And you know, I don't know why, but it was an incredible high there, but
I think an experienced coach, which I wasn't, you know, that experienced, you know, 27 years old, was the, you got to, you know, just looking back, just thinking about it, you have something like that happen, you got to knock the chair out from underneath their feet, you know, like the team. You got to bring them back down, you know.
Back down.
Because both us, we, you know, and them were up here elevated, you know, and it was hard to get over that experience. It was just like, oh, wow, we did it, you know.
Yeah. Well, we'd done something that had never been done.
Yeah.
At Calhoun.
And it hasn't been done since. It was pretty phenomenal.
Yeah.
For sure. Because we've had some great teams come through Calhoun.
And
some
like
great
I
athletes.
Said in our previous interview, we're still waiting for our statues of you, of you and me.
I probably keep waiting.
Hey, what's it? I would like for each of you guys, we got limited time here, but a short tip for this Calhoun team playing in the Winchester tournament. What can you say to them? You know, because we really want them to do well.
I think both teams are comparable. They both have great athletes, deep benches. The team right now is long and lengthy like you guys were. I think they're both the same. I think they just, it's there for the taking. They just need to go grab it.
Greg?
I agree 100% with Donnie. This team is deep. They can shoot the ball. They're long. They can defend. They're very athletic. The team is so similar.
They are.
Great running football. A lot of football guys.
Final four.
A lot of weightlifting. You know, these guys are strong. And athletic, and they don't, you know, they don't seem to, you know, they just don't back down. So I want to see it. I want to see it again. And the tournament, in my opinion, is comparable. That tournament is loaded again this year.
I know.
It's because now Pleasant Hill, dropped out, and it was replaced by Staunton.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so, you know, and Staunton is good, really good.
Yes,
sure.
I mean, I've coached all these guys, you know, and they're very team oriented. They're not selfish, but I would say the biggest thing, you know, because let's be honest, they have less than 20 practices in, you know, and they're 10-2 and with two losses to Staunton,
just like us.
But I think as they go through the year, they play great defense. They've got a good rotation, but the one thing that we really haven't seen that they did, you know, all summer, and what they've really been good at is pushing the ball with their athletic ability. And I think if they can pick the tempo up a little bit with the way they play defense, they could make some noise in the postseason, no doubt.
What I kind of would like to see, I just think about that team and how we never knew who was going to be the leading scorer, you know, and anybody could step up and do that and take the position. I just think being a real, real team orientated, you know, and just letting it happen and not having to force anything, just letting play, yeah. Just play the game,
right?
You know, and work as a work together, you know,
yeah,
and do what you have to do to make it happen. All right. Well, again, we've ran out of time, so. Thanks so much for coming in. It's been fun. You know, we'll be keeping track of the Winchester tournament this year.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure.
Yep. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks for coming in.
Yep. It was great to hang out with you guys.
Yes. Reminisce. Thanks again, guys.